And welcome back. The ripple effect of Michael Brown's death in Ferguson in August has been widespread and ongoing. Less than 2 weeks after Brown's death, Archbishop Robert Carlson announced that he was reestablishing a human rights commission to address issues related to racial tension and other concerns that surfaced through the Ferguson protest movement. The commission has been reborn as the Peace and Justice Commission and will be headed by attorney Marie Kenyon. She has served as managing attorney of the Catholic Legal Assistance Ministry. It's serves low-income clients, and she calls this new assignment an amazing opportunity. Marie Kenyon joins me in studio. Thank you so much, Marie, for being with us.
Well, thank you for asking.
Let me ask you to elaborate on the amazing opportunity comment. What do you mean?
Well, for the past 28 years, like you said, I've run the Catholic Legal Assistance Ministry, and what my job is we represent poor people in civil and immigration matters throughout the 11 counties of the Archdiocese. And we deal mainly with victims of domestic violence, their children. We deal with landlord-tenant cases where people are getting evicted. We deal with homeless veterans who need military discharge upgrades. We deal with immigrants who are trying to become citizens of the United States. And these people are all poor. We use the federal poverty guidelines as sort of our gauge. We try not to help anybody who makes more than $20,000 a year is our, like, absolute max. And so for the past 28 years, I've been dealing with issues of poverty and race and education and on a daily basis, case by case. And so this is a chance for me to look at these same issues but systemically. And, okay, well, we know what the problem is, and let's think of ways that the church can respond.
The community at large had a full plate already before Ferguson. Now it's just exacerbated all the problems that you talked about here. What sort of a mandate or marching orders, if I can put it that way, has the Archbishop given you in this job?
Well, he really hasn't. I mean, his vision is that we're going to get a commission appointed, and it's going to be what bubbles up from the commission and what the folks who we appoint to the commission think. These are the issues that we're seeing in our community. These are the issues that we think should be, you know, we should be working on. He has no preset agenda here. He just said, Marie, you know, you go and let's see what comes out of this. I would imagine it's going to be, obviously, issues of poverty and race and lack of education, just because that's what the church deals with. That's what we know. That's what we work in every day. So, but it really, we're just waiting to see what the commission comes up with.
Well, we already have one commission, and we also have the Justice Department looking at some of the issues that they're being raised. I just wonder, how is all of this going to be coordinated, or is it going to be? How will these units work together?
Well, I think the Ferguson Commission's task is to look at the actual issues that caused Ferguson to happen. Ours is much broader. The Archbishop wants us to look at issues of peace and justice throughout the Archdiocese. We have 11 counties. Mm-hmm. St. Louis County is just one of them. And so the issues that people are dealing with in Perry County, in St. Genevieve County, in St. Francis County are different than the issues that people are dealing with in St. Louis County. So I think ours is we're not interested. You know, we're looking at it from a broader view, and also we're not confined to what caused Ferguson to happen and what we can do about it.
Mm. Well, once you, what happens first is you have to appoint members of your commission, correct?
Right.
Just tell me something about process there.
Well, I think what we've already started that, and we're asking pastors and agencies and regular Catholics in the pew, if they think they're interested, to send us their information, sort of a CV and why they would be interested. And we're collecting those. And then shortly after, I officially start February 16th, and so we anticipate after that, I'll sit down with the Archbishop and other folks, and we'll decide who to invite to be on the commission, and we'll get started.
And I assume you'll hold hearings and that sort of thing, that
kind of process? I think so. I anticipate us holding hearings, going out to our community and just seeing what people are interested in. One of the things that I'm doing in addition to actually staffing the commission is to also sort of help the Archbishop, be the eyes and ears for the Archbishop in the community. So go to the Ferguson Commission and just sit and listen and bring back, Archbishop, this is what, you know, this is what they're talking about. This is something that I think that we can collaborate with, or you would be amazed. My appointment was announced on Tuesday, and last week I probably got about calls from 15 different other organizations saying, can we collaborate with you? So there's a lot of people doing a lot of really good work out there on these issues. And because the Archdiocese is so large, I think that's one of the things we'll be doing too, is working with other organizations and agencies to help them in their efforts.
You may not want to identify any of them, but what kinds of organizations have been in contact with you?
Well, it's Ascension Health. They're trying to get some conversations about Ferguson started, Incarnate Word Foundation, the Daughters of Charity, the Jesuits of the Missouri Province, the International Institute, the Mosaic Project, everybody who's working on issues affecting folks that they think that, you know, they'd like to work with us on.
Once you get through this fact-finding process, I'll call it, for lack of a better word, but that sounds like pretty much what you're going to be doing. What then?
Well, that's an interesting question, because, I mean, we're going to obviously act. You know, it's all good and well to say, oh, we're going to have this commission and we're going to think that these issues are important. But then I think we speak out on the issues. We figure out how the church can assist the folks that are in the trenches on these issues, what policies we can try to influence to change the, you know, policies that need to be changed. One of the things with our Peace and Justice Commission is to be the voice of the church, to speak out on issues that we think the church should be speaking out on.
Well, these are not new issues, obviously, as you've indicated early on.
Gosh, I wish.
And I guess we can look to Ferguson as the reason why there is this renewed emphasis.
Right. I think you're right. I think this is after Ferguson, the Archbishop. I mean, everybody is. All these agencies that I just talked about saying, how can we collaborate? Everybody is figuring out, what can we do to help?
So this was
one of the things that he thought, well, let's get this started.
So is collaboration the key to this? Because, as indicated, these issues have been around for a long time, and these organizations, including the church, have been interested in them, and yet here we are.
Oh, I think it is. Yeah. I mean, I think these problems are so large, you couldn't have any one organization taking care of it. I mean, we've all got to collaborate on all of the issues.
Yeah. I want to give our audience an opportunity to get into this conversation. I'm sure they have many questions about what lies ahead. So we'll give them our telephone number, which would be 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can also send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. If you'd prefer to send us a tweet, do so at STL on air. My guest is Marie Kenyon, and she is a newly established director of the Peace and Justice Commission. Is that the correct name?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. What happened to the Human Rights Commission? I mean, that kind of dissipated, did it not?
It did. It did. It was under when Cardinal Ragalli was here, and for various reasons, I wasn't part of the decision making. I don't know why it happened, but that was disbanded during Cardinal Ragalli's era.
All right. Well, we'll come back, continue our conversation in just a moment. Hopefully we'll get some of our listeners into the discussion as well. Marie Kenyon is my guest. We'll be back in just a moment to continue our talk. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. We'll be continuing our conversation with Marie Kenyon in just a moment. But first, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill announced today that she will not throw her hat into the ring for Missouri governor in 2016. She told public radio station KCUR in Kansas City that she enjoys and is challenged by her job in Congress. McCaskill's decision clears the path for fellow Democrat and Missouri Attorney General Chris Koster, who already has been running for the state's highest office. Republican Bruce Rauner is being sworn in as Illinois governor at this hour in a ceremony in Springfield. Rauner is the state's 42nd governor. Today's event featured a moment of silence for Judy Bar Topinka, who was elected to a second term as controller but died in December. And Pat Quinn has decided not to issue medical marijuana licenses before leaving the Illinois governor's office. His spokesman says Quinn decided things shouldn't be rushed out at the last minute, so he will leave the decision to Bruce Rauner, who has criticized the selection process. You can learn more about these and other stories this afternoon on St. Louis Public Radio and throughout the day at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our conversation with Marie Kenyon, the Peace and Justice Commission Director for the St. Louis Archdiocese. Marie, we have a caller on the line who can't stay very long, so I'm going to go right to that call. Dennis in University City joins us. Go ahead, Dennis.
I wanted to say that you could search the country, and I don't know how you could find somebody better than Marie to do the work she's been doing and going to be doing. And she is just a hero, and she's been a wonderful mom, and I've known her for more than 20 years.
Dennis, thank you
so
much.
Thanks, Dennis.
Well, that's a nice endorsement, a nice way to get started,
well,
isn't
it? He's in my parish, and our children went to school together, so thank you.
What does this appointment mean to you? I mean, you've been associated with, as indicated, with the church for a long time and its works. What does this mean to you?
Well, I actually started Catholic Legal Assistance Ministry. I was the founder. I've been there 28 years. It's gone from an office of me to an office of 8 lawyers. And the fact, it's been my life's work. And the fact that the Archbishop knows that, knows how much that work meant to me, and still asked me to leave that work and take up this position, sort of tells you how important he thinks it is. Because I don't think he would have asked me to do this just because, you know. So I think that, to me, it was one of the reasons that I took the job, because I thought, man, this guy is obviously serious about this, because he wouldn't have asked me to walk away from my life's work otherwise.
And this is a role the church has taken on for itself, not only in the most recent past, but forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about the role of the church in dealing with issues such as these.
Well, I think the church is in a unique position to deal with these issues because we're in the trenches. I mean, if you look at the church speaking out on poverty, we are the largest provider. Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of St. Louis is the largest provider of social services in the state of Missouri besides the state of Missouri. That's not including St. Vincent de Paul. It's not including all the parish food pantries. It's not including rural parish workers and everybody else who works with the poor. So because we deal with the poor every day, day in and day out, we really are able to speak out on issues involving the poor because we know what we're talking about. It's the same thing with education. The Archdiocese of St. Louis is the largest school district in the state. And we educate a lot of children of privilege, but we also educate a lot of poor kids. And we've been doing it for a long time, and we spend millions of dollars on it, and we have an excellent product. I mean, if you look at the education that the children coming out of Loyola Academy, St. Cecilia's, Marion Middle School, we know how to educate poor kids. And so we're in a unique position to speak out about the education of poor kids because we do it, and we've been doing it for a long time.
A lot of the poor kids and a lot of the poor families are not Catholic.
That's correct. And we don't ask people if they're Catholic or not. We serve because we're Catholic, not because they are.
What have you learned over the last 20 years in your job as an attorney dealing with these issues that will be helpful, do you think, with this commission?
That's one of the reasons that I took the job, because what I've learned is it's so depressing. I've been doing it almost 30 years, Don. I'm an old lady. So I represented mothers getting custody for their children. Now, for me to represent you, you have to be a victim of domestic violence, and you have to be poor. And so I represent people, I get custody of them, of their kids. And now I've been doing it so long, I have the kids coming to me and asking me to represent them. And they think it's great. You helped my mother get custody of me, now I'm asking you to get custody of my kids. And it's tragic, because it means they're still making bad choices on who to have children with. They're still victims of domestic violence, and they're still poor. The only thing that I can see that stopped the cycle is education. If I look back on families that I represented 30 years ago and family members who are coming back and wanting me to represent them now, the thing that really has made the difference is education.
It seems to me, and I'll bet to you too, that the root cause of so many of the problems we've talked about is poverty. We keep mentioning the poor. Yeah. Why in 21st century America are there so many poor people?
If I knew the answer to that, my dear, I don't know.
But
I think it's the poor. I think one of the things that I would like the commission to look at is the family. And what's going on in the family. And the Holy Father this year, you know, we're having the synod in the Vatican in October on the family. And he's asked us all to really look at the family and family structures and what families mean. Because in my experience, too, a lot of why people are poor is because it's a single parent. And the money just isn't there. So...
Well, you know, the question is money. Where is money going to come from to help alleviate some of these problems?
And I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do know that if we educate, if people get an education and they're able to get their high school diploma, they're able to go to college, they're able to get jobs, meaningful work, which is another thing that the church always speaks out on, is meaningful work. I think that's a help. I don't know.
I don't want to take you off on a political tangent, but while we're talking about education, President Obama has proposed recently that we make education free at the community college level for young Americans. Your thoughts about that? That seems to fit in kind of with what you're talking about.
I think it's great. And I do. I think the Catholic political conversation is changing. Because of what Pope Francis is telling us. Pope Francis is saying, we're a church of the poor. We're a missionary church. We're doing triage. And so the Catholic political conversation, especially in the United States, has to be one of now, has to be one of how are we taking care of the poor? Because the Holy Father's talk about giving us our marching orders. He's hit us over the head with it.
He is really looks to be changing the direction of the church, does he not?
I don't know changing, because we've always been. We've always worked with the poor. And Catholic social teaching on this is hundreds, thousands of years old. But I think he's emphasizing things that have not been emphasized recently.
Do you think he's getting resistance? And again, I don't want to take you into the political realm, but while we're here, resistance from the conservative wing within the church. There seems to be kind of a yinging and a yanging going on. I'm the outsider looking in. You're closer to it than I am.
All I will say is it's a big church. There's a billion Catholics. There's room for everybody in our church. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
All right. Well, again, I don't want to draw you into a political conversation, but there is much to talk about along
there
these lines.
There's
a lot going on these days. Let's take another call. Mike will join us from the city of St. Louis. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the air with Marie Kenyon.
Hi, Marie. I wanted to comment about St. Cecilia's. I do, at Christmas time, I play Santa Claus at a lot of shelters and a lot of poor areas and schools and stuff. And I had the opportunity to do this at St. Cecilia's the last few years. And I got to tell you, it's a fantastic school. I have never met or been involved with so many children that are, first of all, so well-behaved and just so appreciative. And it is just a fantastic school. And the Archdiocese certainly has done a wonderful job there with what little they have to work with.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's an amazing place. Most of the children who go to St. Cecilia's are first-generation Americans or are immigrants themselves. A lot of them come to the school not speaking English, and they are graduating their kids, and their children are going to some of the top high schools in the city of St. Louis. I agree. St. Cecilia's is an amazing place.
It is. Thank you very much.
Mike, thank you so much for the call. Getting back to the work you're going to be doing as director of this new commission, there are a number of, and you mentioned, I think, neighborhood organizations that you can be working with. One of those that comes to mind has been very active in the Ferguson-Normandy North County area. That's Beyond Housing, Chris Kramer's organization.
He's a legend.
Yeah,
Chris
absolutely
is a legend.
He's a friend of ours. He's been on the program many times. How could you envision an organization such as his working with you and your commission and whatever recommendations come out of this?
I can envision a lot of ways. There's some really strong parishes up in that neighborhood. And so I know that there's going to be ways that we can collaborate with him. And Our Lady of Guadalupe is up there. And I'm drawing a blank. Blessed. I'm sorry, Father. I know the pastor's like listening and going crazy, but there's some really strong parishes up there anyway who've already started the work. So I know there's going to be ways that we can collaborate with Chris.
And what is happening on the parish level in places like that?
Well, we're doing some actual Catholic Family Services is up there providing counseling for the children. We had a drop-in centers right after in August and right after the verdict came out where people could come, those people who had lost their jobs because their businesses had been burnt down, to help with rent money, to help with food. I know there's an initiative now that we're going to have St. Louis University students working with the children at Our Lady of Guadalupe, tutoring and mentoring them. There's just a lot going on.
Is the help for these parishes, that those that are most affected by the kinds of things we're talking about, is the help going to come from outside or is it going to come from within? Is it going to be organic and internal?
I think both.
Really?
I think it needs to be both. I think we, you know, to come from within, what do the people need? What's important to them? What do they want help with? And figuring out ways to empower them to help themselves.
Of course, they are the ones that are most in need.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And also, prayer. Mm-hmm. Prayer. There's a lot of that. We now have monthly prayer sessions up there to pray for peace in the community. There's been masses. There's been rosaries. There's a lot of prayer going on up there also.
That never hurts.
That's the main thing.
Another thing that will have to come out of all this, I think, and people would agree that it'll have to be some political waves made, and that by that I mean that our legislators, both local and statewide, are going to have to get involved in this somehow. Could you envision through the commission being an active political lobbying force?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that. I think there's a big difference between lobbying and advocacy. Mm-hmm. I know we're going to be advocates. That's one of the things that the Archbishop has asked us to speak out on issues that we need and speak out on behalf of people we need to advocate for. So we'll be doing that.
Right. By the way, I've just had a note here from our producer, Alex Hoyer. You might have been trying to think of Blessed Teresa of Calcutta.
That's right. So, thanks, Alex.
you are off the hook with regard to the priest out there who might be listening.
Right.
Looking back again over those 20 to 30 years that you've been spending in your other work, what do you look for as your accomplishments there?
Oh, I think it's just been a marvelous chance to serve. I think that it was God calls you to do things with the gifts that you're given, and it has been a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for me to serve. I've met amazing people. I've tried to do a little bit of good along the way, but it really has been a blessing.
And something that drives you, I'm sure. I mean, you talked earlier about your personal involvement and what it has meant to you.
Well, I think it's what you're called to do. Mm. You know, I think we are all called to do different things, and I felt like that's what I was called to do, obviously, for a long time. And now God is sort of saying, Marie, wait a minute. I want you to switch gears a little bit here. So it's a little scary, Don, after 28 years switching gears.
It's not that much of a gear switch, though, is it?
Well, I won't be in the courtroom every day. I won't be dealing with clients every day. I mean, I know what I'm doing now. I'm a lawyer. I know how to be a lawyer. This is a whole different ballgame.
But,
so.
But many of the issues are the same.
Oh, I mean, they're the same issues, yeah.
The bottom line issues.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How, and our time is winding down, but how and when did you recognize that this was your calling?
That what was my calling?
That this work was your calling.
The commission?
No, the earlier work, the legal work, and then ultimately the commission.
Oh.
I know about the commission because the archbishop said this.
Told me it was my calling, right. That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah. But in terms of your getting involved, how did all that happen?
I think that's something that, you know, you learn at an early age that this is what I'm interested in doing. And I have parents who, you know, I was brought up to serve. And mm-hmm. so I think you learn it at home, and you learn it from your parents, and you learn it when you're very young.
So. Now, again, you have to populate this commission. Am I correct in remembering you're going to have as many as 40 members? Is that correct?
Oh, I think I think it's going to be more, probably about 25. I think around 25.
There may be people listening to us right now who would like to become involved somehow. What do you advise them to do?
Just let us know. Write in. You can send it to Tom Buckley, who actually is the chief legal counsel who I'm going to be reporting to. And he's located at the Regali Center, which is 20 Archbishop Main Drive. If you want to call your pastor has the information.
All right. We'll put that information on our website at STL Public Radio, publicradio.org. Is there any special qualification that a person would need to become involved?
Well, they have to be a practicing Catholic, obviously. Mm-hmm. But no, other than that, we're looking for diversity. Racial, ethnic, gender, economic, location. We need people from down south, so.
And any particular timetable for when you want to have recommendations? Or
sometime within the next month.
Okay. Well, you're going to move quickly then.
Oh, yeah.
Marie Kenyon, I want to thank you so much for being with us. We wish you the best of luck in your new project, your new life, your non-legal world, if you will. And everybody's going to be pulling for you and all involved in trying to get some of these issues straightened out. Thank you so much for being with
us. Thank you so much,
Don. It's been a pleasure. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with Rex Sinkfield and Art Laffer about their book, Exploring the Effect of Tax Policy on the Wealth of States. We'll also take a look at the YWCA's efforts to enhance the lives of women and families. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.